Welcome to Pop Culture Happy Hour. I'm Linda Holmes, and I'm in the studio with NPR Music's Stephen Thompson. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Linda.
So, Stephen, today we're talking about dichotomies.
Oh, like the people who like the Green Bay Packers versus people who are wrong.
Well, yes, exactly. Except we are talking about pop culture ones. Star Trek versus Star Wars, first or second Darren on Bewitched, all that good stuff.
Now, back in 2014, we sat down with our friend Petra Mayer to talk about some of our favorite cultural dichotomies. Garfield versus Heathcliff, Ginger versus Marianne, and of course, creamy versus crunchy peanut butter.
Yeah, that one got heated. After the break, we'll talk about some of our favorite pop culture dichotomies with our pal Petra Mayer, so stick around.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from CLR Mold and Mildew Stain Remover. While you're going about your day-to-day life, making dinner or getting kids to school, something's happening in the dark recesses of your house. Mold and mildew are growing, but you can fight back with CLR Mold and Mildew Stain Remover. It's tough on mold and mildew stains all around the house, and it works without bleach or harsh fumes. It even carries the EPA's Safer Choice seal. CLR Mold and Mildew Stain Remover, making the world a little cleaner.
We're going to try to do this without any knockdown dragouts. We're not looking for fights. We're talking about these dichotomies. We're not necessarily trying to hash any of them out because I'm not 100% positive we can solve some of these things here in the room. Glenn, do you want to kick us off? Do you have anything to say about this? Do you have any insight?
Well, if you prefer Darren Stevens 1 or Darren Stevens 2, it says something very important about you.
All right, remind me who these people are.
Samantha Stevens' husband on Bewitched. It was either Dick York or Dick Sargent. Dick York was a jerk and always yelled and had a really annoying voice. Dick Sargent was a nicer guy.
Oh.
Dick Sargent all the way.
I see.
Mm. But hey, Dick York had a background in mental hygiene films, which makes him awesome.
No, that's true. He does turn up in mental hygiene films. Trek versus Wars, everybody. Let's start there.
Well, I personally am Wars because I have not watched very much Trek.
Right.
And because Wars is much more a part of my childhood, and that's where my nostalgia attached.
Mm-hmm.
So I have really mostly that. But I'm going to posit, aren't there an awful lot of both Trek and Wars people?
Yeah.
I mean, people who like both?
This whole exercise is just a simply reductionist thing. You're trying to make everybody be binary, and nobody's
right.
Binary.
Exactly.
There's a whole world. And so these are meant just to generate discussion. That's all
true.
This is about.
Well, I think there's a little more to it than that, though. I think there is something about the way we choose to identify ourselves. We're very often making a statement about ourselves that is not about a preference of one piece of culture over another. I was surprised when I was looking at some of these examples how often they boil down to, do you like the dirty thing or the clean thing?
For example?
Beatles and Stones.
Mm-hmm.
Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera.
Talk about which of those you consider to be the dirty thing or the clean thing.
Well, and clean, I'm being very loose in my terminology
right.
with both. But Beatles is very polished, very immaculate. The Stones is a little sexier, a little bit more kind of raucous and just kind of, you know, Mick Jagger wants to do you. And Paul
you're
McCartney.
You get a lot of hate mail.
There's a little bit more like, I want to say that I'm the kind of person who likes the kind of rougher thing.
Mm-hmm.
I like the thing that's a little naughtier
mm-hmm.
versus I like the thing that's a little more. And Madonna and Cyndi Lauper is actually a bad example
That's an interesting one, though.
I think it's popular versus unpopular. You know, if you're a Madonna person, you are identifying with the thing that everyone likes. With Madonna, especially in the beginning, it was very much like, this is a thing that is extraordinarily popular and maybe big with popular people. And Cyndi Lauper is much more very openly embracing being a misfit.
Yeah. And for me, I'm hearkening back to the mid-80s when this was all
right.
a thing. But, you know, for me, that's much more about sort of packaged rebellion
mm-hmm.
versus actually being kind of subversive.
Right.
For me, Madonna was packaged rebellion. Madonna
mm-hmm.
was much more, clearly that was the marketing plan. Whereas for me, Cyndi Lauper was more legitimately subversive in the sense that she was more obviously a kind of weirdo
right.
in a great way, in a way that I loved. And so I responded differently for that reason.
But a lot of these classic pop culture dichotomies don't break down in terms of mainstream versus alternative. Ginger versus Marianne, for example.
Yeah, well, that's another dirty versus clean, though. That's another tougher person versus nicer person.
Well, and coming back to how you identify yourself and what your own preferences are, what your own stated preferences are, Gale versus PETA in the Hunger Games. It's a little bit of strong, they're both strong, but it's a little bit of strong versus sensitive.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also a little bit of sex one versus the other one, which is actually some of what these come down to. And that's a little what Ginger is, too. Some of these are just more kind of conventionally overtly sexy thing versus approachable,
sexy,
sweeter
sexy
thing.
Versus sturdy.
To me, in the books, Gale is more kind of aggressively like, I want to date you, I want to be your boyfriend. Whether or not that's exactly being said that way, to me, it's a more kind of, it's a slightly baser reaction.
Right.
She's more attracted to him.
Right.
Whereas PETA is a more caring, loving, as I've been known to make the argument in the past, he has the kind of role that traditionally is given to women and girls in movies. Mm-hmm. He's much more nurturing. He talks sense to her when she's, losing her head. He bakes.
Right.
It's the overtly sexy one versus the other one. What do you think, Petra?
These are more interesting to me, not in defining what the dichotomies are, although I'm glad I'm waiting for a taxonomy here. The only taxonomy I could come up with was there are people that make these distinctions and people that don't.
That's right. You can divide the world into two kinds of people.
I keep referencing BuzzFeed, but like this goes back to these kinds of quizzes that you take that tell you what...
Which new kid on the block are you?
And then that particular new kid has some transitive properties that then apply to you. You know, these dichotomies are always more about who you think you are.
Right.
And by the way, Madonna versus Cyndi Lauper was a big deal as a kid, and I was smirking when you were saying all that stuff about Cyndi being real rebellion and real miss, because I was a Cyndi Lauper girl.
Absolutely.
Although because I grew up in D.C. in the early 80s, it was actually Janet Jackson versus Lisa.
Oh, wow.
Somewhere in the depths of my mother's photo album collection, there's a picture of me and my best friend at Halloween, and I'm dressed as Madame de Pompadour, and she's Lisa. So that's a dichotomy. I don't know what it says about anything.
That is a dichotomy. That is. You know, one of the things I wanted to ask you guys is about this idea of dichotomies that are kind of accessible to lots of people, like Star Wars and Star Trek, which I think we've agreed is partly phony, but thought of as existing.
You're going to get fought on that, but not by me.
Partly. I'm saying partly. I'm not saying entirely. I'm saying there are many people for whom that's not a divide. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying. But in addition to those, there are also ones that only matter to a very, very small group of people. And they don't have to be balanced in order to be dichotomies, right? It doesn't have to be 50-50. Like I was thinking, if you watched What Not to Wear, there are people who liked the first guy they had, who did like the first season, whose name is Wayne. And there are people who like Wayne, but then they brought in Clinton Kelly and he did the vast majority of the episodes. I think you would find, my guess is statistically, the vast majority of those people are Clinton people because he did so many more episodes and because I just think he was better liked.
I'm more of a Dunkelman man than a Seacrest man.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying there are certain ones that are accessible to popular entertainment in general. Right. And then there are these ones where you have to find the exact right person and then they will have really, really strong feelings as to this tiny little thing.
I'm probably alone in this room and having very strong feelings in the classic Trapper John versus B.J. Honeycutt.
Oh, do you?
I seem to recall you having strong opinions.
Trapper John is a snide, swaggering jock.
I agree with that.
And B.J. is a sensitive guy with great teeth who's easy on the eyes. So right there. Boom, done. He's also funnier. He's more given to wordplay.
He's more given to wordplay.
Than Trapper John.
I think he's a better foil.
Yes,
I think
he's
less the same guy. Mm-hmm. Like Trapper John to me is two Hawkeyes,
<That's>
whereas
<true.
laughs> BJ is like a family man and has a gentler sense of humor.
Indeed, I've been talking to a lot of people who come down in the Batman versus Superman divide, pro Batman because I've been writing a book. And if you push even a little bit on their here's why I like Batman, not Superman, it just all falls apart because they're like, well, Batman's like, you know, you and me. I could be Batman. The guy who told me this, I quote him in the book, as he was telling me this, we were at a diner, he was dipping his French fry into a chocolate shake.
That's delicious.
And
shut
said
up.
To me, you know, you and I could be Batman. And I was like, let's stipulate no. Also, Batman doesn't have a superpower. Yes, he does. Wealth. Wealth has a crazy superpower, incredible magic wealth that just makes him able to do anything. And this idea of relatability, this myth of relatability, at one time, this is what separated Marvel versus DC. Marvel characters were relatable, DC characters were icons.
Right.
This today is a distinction without a difference because so many editors, writers, artists keep going back and forth between the two because originally the DC Comics characters were created for kids. The Marvel characters that we know of today and think of as heroes were created for adolescents. They were different. Now there's so much back and forth and the audience is kind of homogenized that it's all the same back and forth. And yet there are Marvel fanboys and yet there are people who will hold it and say DC is good. And it's a poisonous, pointless discussion that leads nowhere, and it's just about online anger.
There are certain ones that it just shocks me that they exist, like the whole like Apple versus PC thing still being a thing.
Like, when I was in junior high, there was this rift in the computer science class between Apple people and Commodore people, which tells you how old I am. And also how technologically behind my school was. I'm not that old.
Well, come on, people will never stop needing to feel like they're right and they're better.
It's true.
Garfield versus Heathcliff.
Garfield.
Discuss.
Garfield.
Where does Top Cat fit into this?
Why Garfield over Heathcliff?
Because I never watched Heathcliff.
Yeah. I was totally into Garfield.
I actually was really into Garfield when I was a kid. I can remember having the first couple of books and laughing hysterically at them.
What is the appeal of Garfield?
The thing is, you can't talk about it now because, I mean, Garfield... Jim Davis, I think, is even on record as having said that he engineered Garfield to be as inoffensive and as broadly appealing as possible. Yeah. So you admit to liking Garfield, you're basically saying that your brain is full of oatmeal. I don't know.
Well, that you're into a very mass-produced thing.
I don't know. You'd have to ask me when I was eight.
Have to ask me when I was eight. I thought it was very funny that he was so cranky and had this terrible relationship with his parental figure, and running jokes like lasagna are hilarious when you're eight.
They are
funny.
There are a lot of these dichotomies that just go away. The Mad TV versus SNL.
Well, yeah, sometimes one party wins.
Exactly.
And ER versus Chicago Hope.
ER versus Chicago Hope, right, exactly. Dallas versus Dynasty was a thing at one point.
That was a city versus country kind of thing.
What do you mean? Mm.
Well, Dallas is a country show in its way. Mm-hmm. Dallas was a glam country show. And Dynasty was a Beverly Hills.
Sure.
You know, Dynasty.
Technically Denver.
Technically Denver. I associate that with a kind of a cowboy sensibility versus an LA sensibility.
Sure.
is what I'm saying. And I think you can find elements of that kind of dichotomy actually in lots of forms. I have often been known to say that you have in Broadway musicals, your city musicals and your country musicals. Mm-hmm. Your city musicals like West Side Story and Singing in the Rain is like that. And
On the Town.
And On the Town and ones like that. And then you have Oklahoma and Carousel and, you know, like Lil Abner and
State Fair.
State Fair. There's a whole world of kind of country fair-based, farm-based shows. And mm-hmm. I think you get that same. It's like Dynasty is Singing in the Rain and Dallas is Oklahoma.
Okay.
I'm having bad high school drama club flashbacks now.
How do you like it?
Paul F. Tompkins has a very famous bit, Cake versus pie. Where do we come down? Cake versus pie?
Both.
Depends on the pie.
I was going to say, if it's a fruit pie, pie. Mm-hmm. If it's a cream pie, cake.
Mm. Wow. I would almost go the opposite way.
First of all, just
get fruit. You know, anything
fruit pies
healthy.
Are great.
Cream anything, pies, any hint of healthiness.
Cream pies are, you might as well just eat whipped cream out of a bowl.
And I'll do that too.
I was just going to say, I'm in.
You're welcome to do that.
I live
that,
my life mid schlag, you know?
You're welcome. You're welcome to do that, but I'd rather have cake.
This is important, and I have had heated arguments about this. I won't have another one because I've grown since then, but creamy versus chunky.
Peanut butter?
Mm-hmm.
Both.
Super chunk.
Super
gross,
chunk.
Gross and gross. Wrong. What? Why do you hate your soft palate? What did it ever do to you?
I chew.
Crunchy, yeah.
I was going to say, I have teeth, Grandpa.
You're going to get it ripped up.
You're talking to somebody who puts potato chips in her tuna sandwiches to make them crunchy.
And ripping crispy, up your, ripping up your palate, man, I eat crunch berries. I got a palate of steel.
All right. You're wrong. You're wrong. And right, something hurt you in your childhood.
Yes, lack of access to crunchy peanut butter hurt me in my childhood.
The grossest thing. You can't spread it. You can't spread
that
it on bread. It kind of rips up the bread.
That is not true. Okay. Creamy
depends
peanut
on
butter.
The bread.
Creamy peanut butter is slimy. It might as
it
well
is not
be.
Slimy.
It might as well be whipped.
It's not called slimy peanut butter. It's called creamy peanut butter. Words have meanings.
I'm just sitting here. Both of these things. I'm just thinking delicious. I mean, love them.
Stephen's
both.
Like, oh, peanut butter.
I would just eat it out of the jar.
Mm. Oh, I don't.
Creamy peanut butter is an abomination before the Lord.
No,
like sweet pickles.
Whipped peanut butter is an abomination before the
That's
Lord because
thing?
You are paying more for air. Doesn't make any sense. Why would you do that? Creamy is exactly.
Creamy is the same thing as whipped.
It is the porridge that Goldilocks chose. It is perfect, and there's nothing else wrong.
I just I. I could talk about food all day.
All right, all right. Pope Urban VI or Pope Clement VII?
Neither Pope Alexander V. He had a better tomb.
All right, all right. She comes down differently on the papal schism.
Wow.
Of 1378.
Wow.
This has taken a turn.
Mercy's sake, this has taken a turn. Hey, that was fun. We'll be back on Friday with our summer movie preview.
We'll run down the films we're most excited to see, and we'll try to guess the big moneymakers and the biggest bombs. So look out for that coming to you Friday.
Until then, if you have a minute to give us a review on Apple Podcasts, it will help people find the show. See you on Friday.
Former FBI Director James Comey's book is out, and Terry Gross spent an hour with him. Check out Fresh Air for an in-depth interview with James Comey, plus listen to a special episode of the NPR Politics podcast for analysis.